Hello and welcome to A Different Corner podcast, a fantasy football podcast. I'm Manish Verma, and if I am VAR, check complete, he is the replay operator, the sensible, calm, rational voice of reason in these chaotic FPL times, Dr. Lumen Ali. Hello, sir.
Hello.
May I? In fact, I'm going to interrupt you straight away, as that whole VAR chaos was a whole load of interruptions. My question to you, first of all, is, are you happy with this? And I don't mean the scoreline or the farce that is VAR. I mean your FPL points this week. Are you happy with this?
I can't complain. It's not too bad. I mean, I'm consistent at the moment. I mean, last week was a good example where some of my competitors closed the gap on me, but that's because of a freakish Newcastle result. And those same people didn't have such great weeks this week. So I'm happy to be consistent.
And I was referring to, are you happy with this? Because it was taken straight from that VAR audio. Have you heard that? What do you make of it? You're a Liverpool fan, Liverpool Spurs at the weekend.
Oh, it's
farcical. And what did you think of it all?
It's reprehensible. I mean, my issue with VAR from day one has been the officials behind it, with all the technology that they've got at hand, and they're still making monumental mistakes week in, week out. My big issue with VAR in general is that all we get is an apology, but we don't get any real change. And I hope we get change from this, because this was beyond comical. I was watching it live and I was just straight away saying, why haven't they drawn the lines? You know, why haven't they drawn the lines? And I just knew something was iffy. And then it all came out. And there has to be some major changes from this.
Obviously, it was just a farce. And then we all get the kind of the blowout and everyone saying whatever nonsense it was. I don't want to see Spurs win any week, really. And less so this week, of course. And then when they released the audio and the video that you can see accompanying it, I thought it was fascinating how the process is and, you know, drawing the lines. And it was really interesting, actually. But of course, there was a miscommunication within that VAR studio, wherever they are, and they just misunderstood.
They need to enter the real world. They need to enter the real world. You know, check complete. You know, what's wrong with saying, we've checked and it's a goal?
Yes. You know. But you know, when people say change, you want to see what needs to happen? Of course, the quality. In this instance, it sounds like simple semantics needs to change. But what do you reckon we need to see?
Not just semantics. This is clear cut. We see what happens in the Champions League. They've got the technology where there's no need to draw any lines. They've got the technology and it's clear. Offside is clear in the Champions League. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Because also we're getting into dangerous conspiracy territory now, because fans are now beginning to say, hang on, there's an agenda here. There are certain clubs, the referees were travelling somewhere a couple of days beforehand. We're opening up that possibility even, aren't we?
But that will always be there. You know, there'll always be fans like that. But I think if we're sensible about it, what this boils down to is, you know, they're not using the technology available, which would have cut all of this out in the first place. And secondly, as someone who in their day job audits firms for, systems and controls, I can say that it all comes from the top in terms of culture. And if the culture is right, then everything follows from that. Here, the culture is, we'll issue an apology, we'll suspend someone or leave them out of a couple of games and then forget about it. What frustrated me the most in all of this is that Liverpool have played 7, won 5, drawn 1 and lost 1. In those 7 games, they've been down to 10 men in 3 games, 9 in another, right? And they've still in that position. the boys showed an incredible amount of heart. And that's what all of this takes away from, is just when your team loses, it's not great. But when they show the attitude and the spirit, you can't be but happy. So that's another big thing for me in all of this.
They have still, regardless of those being down to 10 or 9 men, as in that case, put points on the board. And the man who's putting points on the board every week, Lumen, is yourself. So let's do a quick points reveal.
Okay.
Go for it, my friend.
Well, do you want to do yours first? Because...
Oh, mate. Do you want to do mine? Mine is very, very simple. A hapless, a horrible, if my fantasy football game week score in game week, 6, 7 was, I would be that VAR operator, not the operator. I would be the VAR official, because I was a awful 36 points. I've got more red arrows than the RAF, Lumen. The average was 49. My defense took no points. I got -2 on Brighton's Estupiñan. My Man City boys did nothing. Doku and Haaland. I've got Alvarez, who managed to salvage me something. But Haaland, as my captain, did nothing for me. I had just ones and twos littered all over the green pitch. Who did get me something? Saka, who probably could have another goal if he didn't pass the ball to Kai Havertz to get a penalty. Elsewhere, I had 7 points on the bench with Sanchez, but I got a clean sheet of my goalkeeper. But everywhere else, ones, twos. Anthony Gordon got me another assist, which was nice. Mitoma, nothing at Brighton. And my bench is just looking horrible as well. Zeros. Botman didn't play. Would have got a clean sheet if he did. 36 points. A terrible... I've got all red arrows, mate. Red arrows everywhere.
The real gut punch is... this is all happening after the wild card.
This is it. I was so pleased to be sorting out big problems in my goalkeepers, my defenders, midfield to a degree. And now all of a sudden I'm looking at it. Well, to be honest with you, my squad right now is looking horrible for the next game week, because I have a total of 3 suspensions and 3 injuries. That's what I've got going into the next game week. So I'm not looking so great at the minute, Lumen, I'll be honest with you. But you, on the other hand, you're on a different plane, my friend.
Well, there's a couple of things I want to highlight. Firstly, I had another week where I had points on my bench, but this time round it worked out because Cash got substituted in, so it's a big 6 points. What was interesting for me this week was, normally I'm very decisive with transfers. I know exactly who I want. But I knew I wanted to get rid of Mbeumo, but I was thinking about the options. I went through them. So Maddison, I couldn't afford him. Son, I couldn't afford him. Then I looked at Gordon, and I came very close to getting Gordon in. But 2 things. Firstly, I thought, you know what, you've got him, it would be a bit boring. And secondly, Gordon's not really a good player, really. Like, he's not really a good player. You know, there's some players who just have a bit of luck or whatever.
Newcastle fans would disagree with you. I think he's having a good season.
He's all right. So I looked at another player and I thought, you know what, he's been on my shortlist anyway, and he's got a good run of fixtures, and that was Moussa Diaby, and he got me 8 points. Hopefully, if all is well and he and Villa continue their form, their next fixtures are Wolves away, West Ham at home, Luton at home, Forest away, Fulham at home, Spurs away, Bournemouth away.
He helped you to get 56 points in total, 7 points over the average. I guess more green ticks for you, more green arrows for you.
Well, no, I've dropped a bit worldwide, but to be honest with you, I'm not too fussed, because I'm just hanging in there. And
you say kind of hanging in there. But Lumen, I've done some maths, okay? You are something like, I've got the figures here, 41,729th in the world. That sounds like a big number, right? But when you consider there are 10 million players, shall I tell you where that puts you? That puts you in the top 0.4% of players worldwide.
That's not bad.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
You know what they say. It's easy to get into the top. It's harder to stay there. So, you know.
Shall I tell you something? I was looking at my top. I wanted to see where my best ever finish was. And it was in the 2014-15 season where I didn't know this until I look back. I was ranked just over 30,000th by the end of the season. Now, I don't expect there to have been 10 million players then, like, you know, almost a decade ago. But still, not bad. The rest were like in the many, many hundreds, millions of ranked players. So, yeah, not bad.
That's fantastic. But, I mean, yeah, the issue now is staying there. And one of the things that I mentioned in the last episode, if you recall, I said that Ollie Watkins is going to go on a tear. I did say that. I'm not going to say to you I expect a hat trick.
No.
But I knew Watkins was going to go on a tear. But then the question is, oh, why didn't you get him in? I can't afford him. It's as simple as that, you know.
So he got something like 24 points or something like that, didn't he? And captain, of course, a hat trick. I mean, now are we looking at, if we look at, you've mentioned Diaby's fixtures, obviously, that's Watkins' fixtures as well. Wolves, West Ham, Luton, Forest, Fulham. There's a lot of greens here when I'm looking down here. The next very tough, I mean, West Ham at home is a very tough one. I think Wolves away, what Man City have just lost there. So that is tricky. But Ollie Watkins is going to start. He is Villa's number nine. If they can play like the way they did against Brighton, you expect him to be banging them sort of numbers almost week in, week out for the next few weeks, no?
He's going to score. He's going to score. Maybe not a hat trick every game. He's going to score. Now, the issue is how to get him in, because a lot of people as their second striker have got Alvarez in. And we'll get on to this in a second, because the dilemma is Alvarez is getting points, whereas everyone's top choice isn't getting points. So it's just about managing that. Do you risk taking Alvarez out, who is still performing, and put Watkins in? So, but Watkins is going to do the business for the foreseeable.
Watkins is currently owned by a quarter of players, 25% ownership, and he's just 8 million. If you can work it out, that is looks like a good signing there, and he's all, as you said, he's gone straight to the top of the leading forwards in terms of points. Haaland and Alvarez below him. Let's get on to Haaland then, because that's a good segue to the Man City striker, the guy everyone needs to have in there. You can't not have him, 91%, because he just can blow teams away. My question is not, do you get rid of Haaland, although you could save a lot of money and probably get everyone else you wanted? My question is, can you now question captaincy on Haaland?
100%. 100%. I've already done it for the coming week. I think Wolves was a crazy game because you'd expect him to do something. But I think the captaincy issue with Haaland goes a lot deeper, where if you, you know, sit down and have a cup of tea and look at it in the cold light of day, you'll see that his away form is nowhere near as good as his home form.
Mm.
But it's FOMO. FOMO, FOMO, FOMO. You know, what if he just goes off and does it? And that's what everyone's petrified of with Haaland, because he's got it in him.
Haaland does pose that what if question. As soon as you press confirm, as soon as the deadline has passed, you're like, ah sugar, what if he goes off? Let me just look at his numbers here, right? The last few games: 2, 6, 6, 20,
yep,
4. obviously that 20 is an outlier there, but we know, everyone knows he's capable of doing that. And if you miscaptain him that week, you're kind of done for it. All of your rivals have caught you up. For me, I think there is a question of questioning captaincy on Haaland now. It's interesting what you said about away form. Let me have a look here. So away to Wolves, no. Yeah, 2. Away to West Ham, 6. Away to Sheffield United, just 4. The first game of the season was away to Burnley and he got 13. So yeah, I think it's a good point about away from home. My question was whether it's the Rodri factor. He's so important to that team, I think. Obviously, he got suspended for 3 games. He's out one more game against Arsenal. And I wonder whether that plays into Man City's form.
He played last night in the Champions League.
And they won?
They won, but what did Haaland do?
Shut out, right. So maybe that's not the case. I wanted to ask as well, so we've talked about the strikers and the captain situation, and there are alternative captains, right? You could go on a Salah, you could go on a Son if you have him, you could go on a Saka, a very consistent player, maybe. But again, you don't have them. Haaland has the propensity and the track record of double digits every week. You know, he has that in him, but just recently he doesn't.
And whilst you've mentioned Saka, the difference between Haaland and Saka is greed. If Haaland gets those 2 penalties, he's not going to give them to Odegaard and Havertz. He's like Denzel. He's coming away with something. You know, he's coming away with something. And that something would have been a hat trick if Saka had taken those penalties.
Yeah, very good, very good. That Denzel one is the clip that he was with. Was it Jamie Foxx? And he was talking about going, where was it? Was it Buckingham Palace or somewhere? Mm. And he was saying, took away toilet roll or something like that. I can't remember.
I'm from round the way.
We talked about the strikers. Let's talk the other end of the pitch. I want to talk about Brighton. Here's a fact for you. Here's a stat for you. Brighton have no clean sheets this season. Estupiñán is owned by 55% of players. Is he worth it?
Well, 2 things. Firstly, he was worth it from an assist point of view. But everyone's hand has now been forced because he's got a long-term injury. So by default, you know, he's going to be out of many people's teams, including my own one. But yeah, I mean, Brighton are an interesting team. You know, they got absolutely pancaked by Villa, you know, and it was, you know, an absolute massacre.
It really was. I didn't expect Brighton, who have been superb, to do this.
It's because of playing in the Europa League. I've mentioned this before for Liverpool, and whilst you're not seeing it just yet, you will sooner or later. That damned Europa League, Conference League, has a massive impact.
The thing is, for Brighton, I'm looking at Brighton's fixtures now. They've got some nasty ones. Liverpool, then Man City, and then they've got Fulham. So the next 2 certainly aren't looking great for them. But Brighton, when they turn up, they can blow both of them out, actually. Not blow them out, but certainly get a result.
They can do, which is why I'm always hesitant to jump the gun. Same, you know, when Newcastle scored 8, everyone were jumping on that bandwagon. The Gordon example. But, you know, there's a big picture here, and that's what I try and do in terms of the game.
For me, this game week was just a really interesting one because I think it really separated the good, as in you, and the bad, me. Because it was just that you had to be smart this week. You had to be smart. There wasn't anyone, you know, if you had Watkins, you had a very good game week. You scored very well even without Watkins, which I want to now want to go on to the question of, this is a weird George Michael stroke fantasy football podcast thing, and so I want to title our next feature fast love. This is the part of the show I want to ask you who you have a lot of love for right now. Which player to you, he may be in your team, he may not be in your team, who are you liking?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. There is one player I would sell all my players for. He is absolutely driving me bonkers because I am so desperate to get him in. But I can't afford him and I have to consider taking other players out.
Right, you've got to tell us who it is then. Who is your fast love for?
It's Martin Odegaard.
Oh, yes, 17 points this weekend.
But leaving that to one side, you're an Arsenal fan. The ball keeps going to him.
Yeah.
The ball keeps going to him every game in the middle and he does something.
Yeah. It's an interesting one because he's so sent. You're right. He's in the middle. Saka, when he picks the ball up, he's far wide, far right usually. Martinelli, when he's fit, he's far left usually. He does cut in, obviously. But when Odegaard usually receives the ball, he is there in the middle of everything. He can go left, he can go right. He's shooting often, he's assisting. You're right. His numbers, however, this week, of course, it's a little bit skewed because this week he did so well. What did he get? A goal and two assists in the end.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at Odegaard. One second. Odegaard's numbers. So altogether this season, Martin Odegaard, 3 goals and 2 assists. And it's the problem is it's just up and down with him. 17 this week, then 1, 3 before that, 7, 2, 11, 2. It is a bit. He's not. He's been playing. Oh, from a purely fan point of view, when you're watching Arsenal, Arsenal tick partly because, or a large part because Martin Odegaard is on the pitch. As an FPL player, there's maybe some question marks all the time. He's 8.5, so that's why you're saying I don't know how to get him in.
Yeah, but if we're talking about a player that I have got fast love for that's in my team. Before I say the name, I got me thinking, I do believe that in the Premier League in general, there's sexy players and there's unsexy players. The sexy players are the ones, you know, you watch more of their games and, you know, they've got more highlights reels, and especially in fantasy football terms, they get a double-digit point return. Someone like Anthony Gordon, he get it. But
Anthony Gordon, not a sexy player. Let's put it in there.
He is a sexy player in terms of people just jumping on the bandwagon.
All right, fine.
But an unsexy player, and he's still unsexy because you can check out his ownership, is Jared Bowen.
16.3%.
I watched, and that's gone up this week. But,
yeah.
I watched Match of the Day. Mm. And the first 3 bits of highlights before he scored over his goal were all involving him.
Right.
With a potential assist or a potential goal.
Wow.
He's been fantastic for me. Immense disrespect for this guy, right? Everyone forgetting how good he's been for West Ham. And, you know, I'm very, very happy to have him in my team.
Jared Bowen, 16% ownership, 5 goals, 1 assist. This is a really big stat, I think. He's only had 2 blank weeks out of the 7 so far. He's had 2 twos and the rest 9, 7, 7, 12, 9. He is having a season. He is having a season.
Good player. So that's the one for me. What about yourself?
My fast love is a player who, see, I love this sort of 5 to 6 million bracket player. I love getting them ones that not many people have got and that are affordable. The issue is they don't get me enough points, and it only works if the rest of my team are blowing other teams away and my captain scores loads and I can fit these guys in. I can fit him in. It's just, would he be enough? But I love him. I've watched him a couple times and he's just blistering and exciting. And I just think he has no fear going forward. Pedro Neto at Wolves.
Wow, good shout. Good shout.
I just, easy on the eye, very effective player. Of course, Man City lost this weekend. He made that incredible run, just picked it up and just ran. He ran past Nathan Ake. There was another defender trailing him and then put it in a dangerous area. He got lucky. It kind of looped off a defender and went in. But, you know, this season, one goal, five assists in seven games. It's really good. And I've said this before. I really like Gary O'Neill at Wolves as well. I liked him at Bournemouth last season. And I'm just waiting to see that sort of mid to kind of 10th to 14th place team, or they're going to be a relegation scrap team. I don't think they're going to go higher than 10th, but I think Gary O'Neill can bring them to that mid-table. But I think if there's anyone who's going to do it for them, it'll be Pedro Neto. I think he's superb.
He is, and he's in that pot of players where, you know, they're a certain value, budget, mid-price options, and it's just about having that luck who performs that week. But on that note, I'm just curious to know what you're going to do, because have you got enough players to even start next week?
So, mate, I don't want to do this, but that free hit is calling me, because I don't know how I'm going to field an 11 without at least doing a -4. I may have to do a -8 because of, as I said, three suspensions, three injury doubts.
Yep.
Like, you know, I don't know where I'm at with Botman. Saka has a yellow mark next to him at the minute.
Saka's the interesting one, because last game week, you had a whole load of people ship him out of the team because it was like more than likely to miss the game. And I was going to get rid of Mbeumo, but then I was looking at Saka in case he doesn't play. But I went on Twitter, and he was on the team bus with Saliba, and I was like, yeah, he's playing.
There's two things here. Mikel Arteta is a liar, and Arsenal fans know this. He says one thing in press conferences. We just don't know what he's like, where we stand with him on team news. Anything that he thinks that's going to give the opposition an inkling, an extra bit of information that they can use, he's going to throw anyone.
Well, he went off injured in midweek, and we've, you know, there's been murmurings that he's going to miss the game. The question is he going to miss it? I mean, that's...
So here's the thing. It's Man City. It's Man City at home. And of all games, like, Arsenal fans are talking about, this is the time we need to. I mean, last season, obviously, we needed to, and we'd have been a bit closer to Man City. But this season, a lot of Arsenal fans are saying, this is the season we have to. If we want to win the league, we have to beat Man City. Then you think that without Rodri, they're without De Bruyne, you know, we have to play Saka if we have to have a chance of winning this game. I can't see him being out unless his injury is too bad. I think he plays.
Arsenal fans turning into Maloko there. I know you guys are thinking the time is now, but is it enough to force a player play through injury and then risk long-term injury? That's the question.
We talked about fixtures. Let's go on to our section, Dear Doctor, where we have a caller completely made up. I've just made up. We've not got that many listeners yet. Caller who's written into us, Lumen, with their Dear Doctor question. The good doctor for you to give some advice, and you're in the 0.4% of the worldwide players, so you're well qualified to give advice. Dear Doctor, this is a two-part question, Lumen. Dear Doctor, what's the best way to tell your mum and dad that you've dropped out of university to pursue OnlyFans full-time? And my second part of the question is, also on the theme of playing away, how much weight do you give to home versus away fixtures? In brackets, a lot of the big boys are away this week. Liverpool, City, Spurs, Villa and Newcastle.
Oh, that's a tricky one. Because
which part of that tricky one? The pursuing only fans full time?
Pursuing only fans full time. Now, one thing that a lot of people don't know is Only 31% of OnlyFans activity is adult related. The rest of it, which is a more than two thirds, is to do with everyday stuff like learning how to cook, pottery, gardening.
Serious.
100%. But they've got a reputation for something else. So if they're dropping out to do that, well done. But if they're not, I might suggest, emigrating to North Korea or Iran, somewhere like that. But on the second question, the home...
Yes, home versus away fixtures. How much weight do you put on home versus away?
I put a fair bit in terms of the opposition. So the home versus away means something, but the opposition means more. So if you're one of the minnows and you've got home fixture against a top team, you know, wouldn't really consider it. But then if you're one of the big boys and you've got an away fixture against Luton or Burnley, that factors into thinking. I think what's more important for me is looking at the fixture and getting players in for 1 week. If you're not planning to have them long term, it's a very risky strategy. I'm not saying it's not going to work out, but you're chasing your own tail in terms of managing the team, especially when injuries and suspensions are creeping.
This week, they mentioned Liverpool, City, Spurs, Villa and Newcastle all away. Spurs are away to Luton, bless them. So that's not not that big
but
a deal.
Sorry, I forgot to mention one of the biggest things in fantasy football, and it happens more often than people realise, is when you've got, and it just happens freakishly just with the fixture list, is when you've got high ownership of players playing against each other. And it sometimes just comes all in 1 week. So this week you've got Brighton and Liverpool, Arsenal and City.
Yes. That's a big one. That's like, I think, four of my players. In fact, how many of my players are basically playing each other then this week? Liverpool, Brighton, I've got Estupiñán, Salah, Mitoma, Alvarez, Haaland, Saka, Doku, who's not worked out for me at all, by the way. That's pretty much half of my team playing against each other.
Jeremy Doku bringing more drama than Jeremy Carr. I mean, it's for you especially. I mean, you've not had a great October, but maybe in November it might rain with points,
I'm waiting for you. We need to be doing a Lumen OnlyFans channel where you strip back your explicit FPL tactics.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be very candid. Yeah. People might get very sweaty.
Oh dear.
With their palms.
Oh, why? Why would they get sweaty with their palms?
Just the fear of missing out on all of these points.